So what? Okay. So Scott, when he's missing on a podcast, the truth is told about him in Italy, and I'm trying to say that he's been abducted by aliens. And when I'm off a podcast, I
The
have
truth is
pink eye
told.
or
Yeah,
poop eye,
the
as
truth is told.
Ash. Whatever. I did not have poop eye.
Look, all I know is I heard that's what you had, and
That's the rumor on
I
the internet
believed
that
it.
you had poop eye.
Yeah.
I did not have poop eye.
It was on the internet, and as we
The
know,
question I want to know is how you got the poop eye.
Yeah.
I think that's the question everybody wants to know, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sharing makeup with Katie Sackhoff.
You win.
You won.
All right, welcome to Rated NA number 77 for the website nerdappropriate.com. We're here to talk Zoom HD all day long with our special guest, Nate Hales from Press to Reset. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad that we're talking about Zoom HD because it just doesn't get enough love out there in the world.
It doesn't. It is the best product ever put out, period.
Yes.
Anywhere.
It really is. It owns all Apple products ever.
And no one... thing is, every time I showed it to somebody, they're always like, this thing's awesome. And I'm like, yeah, you made fun of it without ever trying it.
Totally. And it's so little and light. And oh, God, it's just so awesome. And I love everything about it.
It's the best.
Oh, it really is.
It's really the best.
I think somehow we're on a commercial.
Who's that?
Yeah, you're on a commercial for a product you can't really find anywhere or get at any kind of way.
Exactly. I don't know
who you guys are. I haven't introduced you yet.
Oh.
So Scott is in Italy.
We're from the future.
Scott is in Italy. That's why we have a special guest on. And as always, we have Ash and Hillary. How are you guys doing?
We're doing swimmingly, sir. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good. So actually, I should say that Nate's here because Scott, when he returns from Italy, where he's been eating pasta and throwing his wife into fountains and doing all sorts of Italian things.
Inside baseball joke right there.
He's actually, Scott is going to be going over to Reset Transmission, where he is going to hang out with Anna and Melissa. So we have Nate here. Nate's hiding from them on our podcast today.
It's true. I'm hiding from them a little bit. They're not happy with me right now. I don't talk to them as much as I used to because of Borderlands.
No, it's because you're Man Musk. You got too many of those ladies. Too many work. Ladies on you, sir.
So hold on a minute. Wait. So Scott actually gets announced that he's on vacation in like a really nice place. And if I'm out for a week, all of a sudden I have poop eye. Like, what is up with that?
but it's where you got the poop eye. You got the poop eye from Katie Sackhoff, star of Battlestar Galactica. So that is like, that's a celebrity, you know, you're
Don't
like, super
steal
famous.
That joke.
How could he steal it? How would he know that joke existed previously?
Yeah. Wait, are we in a paradox? What is this?
We are in a paradox.
This is why time travel does not work.
Am I here to kill Ash? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm lost.
All right, so this would be a good time to run the rundown.
Let's do the rundown.
We've got some epic games news with Cliffy B's departure. We're going to talk about Bethesda and a possible Fallout MMO. The new DLC for Mass Effect, as well as some Halo news. And then for reviews, we've got Resident Evil 6. We're going to do more Borderlands 2 talk, of course, especially since Nate's here. We're going to try and talk that into the ground if we can.
Yeah.
Ash is going to talk about Looper a little bit. Hillary started some summer TV watching. And then the question of the week this week was no question at all. It was actually a question for you guys to ask us, and that was ask us anything. So we've got a bunch of good questions in the list. We always start the podcast off talking about what we did this week, but since you weren't with us last week, Nate, what have you been doing your whole life?
let's do Nate's quick origin story.
Okay, so I was born in Illinois. No, I won't start there. So I don't know. I've been playing basically the last few weeks of my life have been Borderlands 2. Like since it came out, that's all I've been playing really. I take small breaks to play League of Legends and whatnot, but that's pretty much it. So I've been doing that. I've been watching Avengers because I got it on Blu-ray, which is rare for me because I'm not much of a movie watcher, and I definitely don't buy movies. And I really felt the need to have The Avengers, so I went and got it, and I've been watching it a lot. And then just spending some time on Netflix and things like that. I've been running around, traveling a bit.
Oh, yeah?
Hanging out. Yeah, yeah. Just been hanging out with some folks and got some things going on, so I've just been traveling and working and doing that kind of stuff, but, you know, nothing too exciting.
Cool.
You kind of sound like a drug dealer when you say things like
that.
You do.
I've been running around, doing some stuff.
Got some things going on with some
folks. I got big things going on.
Things going on. Well, you know, I got to be elusive and like crazy because it's here in Nebraska where it's boring.
Go be red.
Well, also, if you're replacing Scott, he is the most secretive member of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
It is, right? Whenever I listen to the show, and it's like, it's weird because I know him. So it's like, I feel like he's being secretive. I'm like, why is he so secretive about everything?
Who knows? We don't know why
he is. It's just, yeah, he's always been like that.
Strange.
He just likes the air of mystery, I think.
I think so.
He's a big 007 like fan. So I think he is.
So he just creates his own universe?
Yeah, pretty much.
And he sits around in white tuxedos by himself all the time.
Which is weird.
It's weird.
I can That's nice.
Drinking so what else have you guys been doing?
How about you, Hillary?
I've been working. Yes. So I've been working a lot. And good news is part of what I'm doing is with BioWare. So that's pretty fun. Been hanging out with people online, putting their events together. So I think New York Comic Con and Edmonton Expo are going to be fantastic.
Good
so,
for you.
Yeah. Hooray. It's fun times. Hooray.
I'm kind of bummed that I will be at neither one of those events. But
is your New York Comic Con thing off-site or is it in the
No, it's at the Javits Center, whatever you call it. I won't actually be at New York Comic Con, but I've helped do the background stuff. I will be at Edmonton Expo.
Awesome. I think Mel's going to be there, so.
Yeah, no, she told me. I'm excited. I think we're going to try to, you know, have lunch or something.
Sweet.
Don't bank on it, Mel.
Yeah, don't bank on that one, Mel.
Oh,
you might see her for like a minute. You might pull that off. You might actually see her, and then that'll be it.
I can't help that I'm dedicated to my job. So.
She'll cold shoulder you, and then you'll just decide to
ooh,
leave.
That is not what happened. I was hooking you up, man.
Let's rock the boat. Speaking of drug dealers, she was hooking us up.
But yeah, other than the BioWare stuff, I've been doing my other job, which is fantastic, and lots of drama and politics, which is always fun. So good times. Yeah.
And you've been on Nerdist podcasts.
Have I?
Yeah, no, you were in the first episode.
Oh, well, yes.
The YouTube thing.
Yeah, the YouTube thing.
Exactly. So when I was doing stuff with Crabcat, I got to do Try This at Home, which is their show on the Nerdist channel. So that was really fun, actually. So I decorated some furniture, and they taped it.
Yeah. And you also got to dress up like a vinyl ghost, if you will.
Yeah, it was you wore the giant condom.
That was my favorite part. I laughed hysterically.
That's a really funny story. So, you know, it's the middle of filming. It's got to be like 100 degrees outside. It's so hot. And there's no air conditioning in the studio. So, there was a bunch of stuff going on, and we needed to do a Home Depot run. So Lizzie and I decided, hey, air conditioning in the car, let's do this. So we like travel around this weird part of L.A., for literally like 90 minutes trying to find a Home Depot or a Lowe's or whatever. So we finally find one in the ghetto, which is so much fun. And we're thinking we're going to get shot. So then we go into Home Depot and we're like, what can we do to make this whole day better? And we see these like full suits. We're like, that's it.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part. Definitely.
Oh,
did that kid who took a running jump into the other stairwell, like just beat the crap out of his legs when he landed?
Yeah,
there.
That looked bad.
That looked really bad. Yeah,
that's actually Holly's husband now.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That was just a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it was just last weekend. So, yes, that is Ross. He's also called Rubber Ninja on YouTube.
Oh, so he's made of rubber and cannot be hurt.
Exactly. Right. But he did actually get hurt, but at the time it was hilarious. And I think he felt like that was his contribution.
Pain and suffering was his contribution.
Yeah, it was funny. And he literally was looking at pictures of David Tennant and corgis. So that was no exaggeration.
Matt, cool. What have you been doing, sir?
Still been working a lot. So has not left a ton of time for other stuff. I will actually not be going to New York Comic Con, and it is not their fault at all. It is 100% my fault. I got an email, and then I fucked something up, and I didn't fax something to them, although I didn't know it was the 1980s either, and I had to fax things still. Yeah. But,
still do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently,
that is pretty awful.
Apparently, you had to mail it, and I never got the first email, and then when I got the second, or I did, and I didn't see, I don't know what the hell, but when I got the second email, it was like that day I had to fax them something, and I didn't have it, and I was at work till super late, and it just didn't happen, so I do not, and then it sold out at the same time, so I don't have tickets at all. So, no New York Comic Con. I might go Friday. I'm trying to figure out if I can or not. But other than that, I've been playing Borderlands a ton. I've been playing some Mass Effect Infiltrator on my Nexus 7, which is good. It actually controls like I don't remember if we reviewed it, but it controls really well. It's like one of the best tablet control like action games I've played.
Yeah, I'm, Scott is the one who reviewed it, and he was all about that as well. He said it was the same people that made the portable Dead Space game, and they're really good at what they do. So
yeah, it's just really like it doesn't get in your way, and you don't feel like you have to put your thumb in like a specific spot or anything. Like it just kind of works. That wasn't that gross, really. Could have been a lot grosser.
It's a mindset, really.
Yeah, I think that's just gross to certain people. So yeah, that is about it. Not too much else going on, but how about you, Ash?
Work has been worktastic. I'm gearing up for XCOM on Tuesday, so I may mysteriously
Dishonored.
I know. Well, that's coming out too.
Exactly.
I'll probably pick up both, but XCOM's going to be sitting in my tray for a while. Yep. I'm going to mysteriously be sick from work on Tuesday.
Nice.
It's already in the cards. I already have my stuff already, so I'm going to be spending the day with XCOM. As for this week, did a little bit of writing, did a little bit of, a lot of Borderlands 2. Really still enjoying the living heck out of it, and I'm in my second playthrough now. Going through and trying to max out my level so I can try and tackle that horrible raid boss at the end.
Yes.
I know. That's my end goal. So working
second
on that.
Second playthrough is amazing.
It's fun. It's really, really fun.
Totally. And like, geez, I had no idea. Like as soon as you started up, like the guns were going to get so much better.
Yes. Everything gets better.
Yes.
And ridiculous. What else? Other than that, I'm kind of like, I'm jonesing to, you know, all these conventions coming up that Hillary's helping organize. I wish to hell I could go to them because I'm a convention junkie. But there's nothing coming up. There's a small little convention here at the end of October that I'll probably go to and do a little bit of coverage.
Is that Fear or whatever?
Yeah, it's the horror convention here.
Yeah, and it's awesome.
Growing up, one of my favorite movies was Nightmare on Elm Street 4, and they're having the whole cast reunite. So I'll probably go and hang out and watch that. So awesome. That should be cool. Yes. So, yeah, we have a lot of conventions here, none of which are very large, to be honest. I mean, Star Wars is our biggest one, and I don't even know if we're going to keep that, so we'll see.
Cool. Yeah. It is tourist heavy.
It is. It is indeed. All right, so why don't we dive in and start talking about the news? What do you say?
Sure. So I read this first piece of news and immediately thought of you, Ash.
Uh-oh.
Because this is your butt buddy in gaming. But
really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, we go way back. Me and
super connection between
Mr.
the two
Blazinski.
Of them. Mr. Blazinski has officially left Epic Games. No official announcements on exactly what his next venture is going to be yet, but he said that he's just taking a break. He hasn't taken a break in a long time, and then he's going to figure out what the next step is going to be for him.
Has he really been at Epic for 20 years?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous,
that's
right?
Insane.
Since he was a little kid. I mean, I think he's about 37 now, Cliff Blazinski, and they hired him when he was literally a teenager because he was sort of like this savant, you know, genius kid programmer.
Yeah, he was a dev, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He made Jazz Jackrabbit, and then they ended up kind of poaching him from that, and he's been with the company ever since. But like his press release says, he's been with the company for, hold on, my dog is having a dog moment. All right. So he's been with the company for about 20 years, and now he's like, you know, I need a break. And I don't know. I mean, there might be some politics and stuff involved, but he did just get married last year, and I'm assuming that, you know, he's got some cash in the bank, and he's I'm assuming he seems like the type of guy that will more than likely start his own studio.
I think so.
And just
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he gaming's in his blood, and you know, and I know he has a lot of love for Epic, and he probably didn't leave for any bad reason. But who knows? I mean, but it's definitely interesting. Times are changing. I mean, Rod Ferguson left the company a couple months ago and went over to Insomniac, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Epic's definitely changing. And who knows? I mean, their next IP, Fortnite, looks awesome. I can't wait for it. But after that, who knows what the heck they're going to do, you know?
Yeah. I think you're totally right, though. I think the landscape is changing in gaming because, I mean, you look at the high-level exits from BioWare, including, like, Daniel Erickson left this week.
Wow.
From SWTOR. And
yeah,
Cliffy's gone. Yeah. Cliffy's gone. It's just, you know, I wonder I'm just going to go on a theory sort of here.
Yeah, go
is that I just wonder if these guys are realizing that they can start their own studios. And they look at stuff like Kickstarter, and Kickstarter is like, it's probably 30% the game you want to make and 70% who the hell you are. Because you look at when Double Fine gets out there and they make $1 billion,
mm-hmm.
and Oblivion just rolls out there and they've got a ton of money. Or not Oblivion, Obsidian. Right. If Cliffy B wants to go pitch his own idea on Kickstarter, he would fund it no problem in like a matter of hours. I mean, it would take nothing for him to do that.
That's very mm-hmm. true.
And he'd have total control and he'd get all the revenue. And I mean, he could literally do whatever he wanted.
And
so.
He can probably handpick his team. I mean, he has so many friends in the industry, you know, he could probably poach a good number of people and build sort of like a, you know, his own studio.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't even be hard. And he could just do exactly whatever he wanted to do, which I feel like he's kind of done an Epic game anyway, but I'm sure there are politics there.
But also, don't you think this is just kind of part and parcel with the age that we are, and I mean, all of these guys, we've grown up gaming with these people, whether it's, you know, the doctors from BioWare or the Cliffy B from Epic. Like, these are the people who've made our games for the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. The fact that they want to expand and do something new or go out and do something on their own seems completely logical to me at this point. Like, it's like, of course, you've been doing this forever. Why wouldn't you go try something new? Or you know, I think when you get to the level that these people that we're talking about are at, you know, what's the challenge at that point for them anymore? Like, they've got to figure that out on their own at some point, I feel like.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, that could be it too. And I mean, I'm sure gaming is, you know how it is, it's so popular right now. Like, he could probably do whatever he wanted, like, if he wants to. You get the feeling that, like, the doctors from BioWare, at least one of them was talking about making movies and stuff like that. The other one is getting into like beering brew or something.
Beer podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
I will happily listen to that.
I love
podcast.
That.
Right. Oh, yeah, he's
I love that
guy.
Idea too.
No, he's hilarious. I love him.
That's yeah, awesome. It's. I mean, so yeah, you might as well just leave when you're hot, when you're, you know, at the top of your game and do whatever you want, I guess.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's true.
So well, I mean, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say. Let me just say. So it's interesting. You know, when you think about yourself in any kind of industry for 20 years, I don't know, that seems like a really long time. And you know, now we're coming back to the whole fan ownership thing, and I'm wondering, you know, are we feeling this way because we feel entitled somehow? And then that directly goes into Kickstarter. And I'm actually really concerned about the future of Kickstarter, just because.
Me too.
I mean, fans have mobilized so much over other issues. I cannot imagine what it would be like if something went wrong after they donated money directly to the cause.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That's going to be...
There's no net at Kickstarter. There's absolutely none. You can donate your money, and if they make their goal, they don't have to deliver anything. Like, there's no guaranteed delivery over there.
Totally.
So.
Right. But
totally.
I mean, but the wording you guys are using is exactly it for Kickstarter, which is donate. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't think of it as a purchase. It's just
there
not.
You go.
So.
Yeah, but it's the way they frame it, man. Kickstarter frames it like you're buying something.
Yeah, and people are going to get screwed. At some companies not going to deliver, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to bring Kickstarter down, you know, or tarnish its reputation, because there are going to be companies that go through with everything and deliver what they say. And like Matt said, it is a donation. Like, when you hit that button, you are, you know, tossing your money sort of into cyberspace, and hopefully they're going to use it for, you know, what they say they're going to use it for. But
yeah, but usually they establish levels. So if you are a $100 contributor, you get a game, you get, you know, something cool, some, you know, t-shirt or something. If you donate at the 1,000 level, well, we'll put you in the game, or we will, you know, make sure that you get a studio tour. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so a lot of times they are promising something. You are purchasing something, because, you know, even though, yes, it is a donation, you're still expecting something on the return.
True.
Yeah. This is a whole other conversation.
It is.
We've somehow segued into
Kickstarter. It's okay.
But I mean, I do want to ask the other side of it, which is, what do you think, what to prognosticate, if you will, what do you want to think of Epic Games post Cliffy B? I mean, he was kind of the face of Epic Games the past
few years. I mean, he was, you know, his official title was design director. So he had, you know, he had a lot of say in how their games felt and looked and moved. And so
it's like the same talk about, like, Apple, you know, post Jobs, like, yeah. What this, like, Fortnite's going to be fine because he clearly had a hand in everything that Fortnite did.
Yes.
What happens after Fortnite?
That's a great question. And, you know,
well, how's Apple doing?
That's true.
Not super hot at the moment. I mean,
I would say dicey, yeah.
but they're messing up on a bunch of stuff. So
we'll see. I have to wait it out. I mean, I think Epic will be around for a long time. As long as, you know, that Unreal Engine keeps kicking, they'll have more money than they know what to do with. So they don't even need to make games anymore, as long as they keep working on that engine. And while Cliffy did, you know, help with the engine, it wasn't his engine. So.
Mm.
So anyway, the next piece of news is we got a press release from Bethesda saying, hey, you know, we're opening a new studio in Austin. Here are some jobs that are open. And I looked at the jobs, and it turns out this new studio is called Battlecry Studios in Austin, Texas. And it's actually being led by Rich Vogel, who was the one of the lead designers for both Ultima Online, Star Wars The Old Republic, and Star Wars Galaxies. Mm-hmm. And so he definitely has this MMO past and pedigree. And the rest of the positions that are open now at Battlecry, a lot of high-end positions, but also there's a monetization designer, which is...
Oh, man.
That's kind of a giveaway. So a monetization designer, and then you're thinking, okay, well... Obviously, if a game needs monetization, then it is an MMO of some sort. And there is this long rumored Fallout MMO that no one really knows a whole lot about. You know, there's just rumblings here and there about it. So, you know, just connecting the dots, it kind of looks like this Battlecry Studios might be one of the studios that is actually working on this large Bethesda Fallout MMO. But I wondered if...
I feel like we've heard this before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, you're absolutely right. And we don't know.
The whole awesome big franchise.
That's what I was just about to say, I was going to say, are there any other studios in the area that maybe shed some developers recently or anything? Why Austin? No. What a weird choice they would make, you know?
Yes.
Yep.
So would you guys want to play a Fallout MMO, or do you think that, like, you're done with MMOs or don't want to touch them? Because I think all of us have varying opinions about the whole MMO thing.
I just don't have the time. I'm actually interested in maybe checking out Guild Wars 2 because I like that model better than the $15 a month model, because I don't have the time to pay $15, $20 a month and then dedicate that time to a game. So depending on what it comes out as, I might be willing to, you know, if it's quote unquote free to play or
let's pretend that you had unlimited time, that like the film Looper. You had a limited time. So would you want to play an MMO, or are your MMO days done?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Matt. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I was never big into MMOs, and then I played SWTOR, and it was fun for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then I got terribly burnt out on that game. And so I don't know. I'm with you, though. I think the Guild Wars 2 model is more appealing to me.
Yeah,
pay $60 and then don't pay anymore.
Yeah, I just feel like I'd rather just buy the game and then play it when I feel like. And I feel like SWTOR, you know, not only did I only play it for 3 to 4 weeks, but then I paid for it for another 8 to 12. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, it just, I don't know. I was never, Ash, you were way more in MMOs than I ever was, and I like the Fallout world. I would definitely love to jump back into it. In an MMO setting, it just depends on what they deliver, I guess. It's not just the world that's going to sell me on an MMO for Fallout.
Yeah, I would rather that they did a Fallout 4 in next gen, personally. Yes.
Well, that, yeah. And that'll have to that'll come. Happen. I mean, it, yeah. That's, you know, one way or another, we'll be seeing that. But I don't know. I mean, for me, like Matt said, I was a big MMO player, but I had a similar experience to Nate with Star Wars The Old Republic. And I played it and I got through the story and I really enjoyed it. But then I didn't want to ever go back to it just because, you know, MMOs are designed, and we've said this 100 times on the podcast, so I apologize, but they're designed to make you pay a lot of money because everything takes a very long time. Like leveling mm-hmm. takes a very long time and questing takes a very long time. And, you know, combat and all that stuff is not necessarily all that fun. I think if the model changes and there are other ways to reward players other than or punish players by making them wait so long for, you know, for rewards, I think MMOs could be a whole lot of fun. But I think why I don't like them so much anymore is because I've gotten over playing with people that I don't want to play with. You know what I mean? Like, I love playing games with friends, and I'm over like strangers spoiling my fun. Like, I did it for a very long time. I've been playing MMOs since Ultima Online and, you know, played WoW for a very long time. And there are always these unsavory, you know, jerks that have the capacity to bring you out of the game and also spoil your fun. So I think maybe having, you know, smaller servers that maybe, you know, a server for 20 people, that would be amazing. Like, your 20 close friends, you have your own server, you know, why not? So something like that, I think, would be better than other than this massive, like, thousands of players.
Yeah,
right.
The whole player economy shit never works anyway. I don't care what anybody says.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. And it's like, I think that's part of my problem with MMOs is that, like, I'm at that point in life where it's like, I don't get to sit and play games for like 4 or 5 hours or even like 3 hours. It's like, if I can get an hour and a half, then I'm lucky. So I need an experience that's a little bit more focused than an MMO seems to be able to provide.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I know exactly what mm-hmm. you mean.
And I agree with Ash. It's like in the same way, you know, I don't get to hang out with my friends all the time. So when I do want to do something, I'd rather do it with my friends and not like, you know, the idea of the MMO where you're just grouping with these random people and then there's some guy ordering you around or just being a perv or an ass or whatever it might be. And you're just like, ugh. And it's not Ash, you know, so it annoys you. But it's like,
that was going to come back to me somehow.
But it's like, I don't have the time of day, you know, to sit there and spend it with these people. So I agree. It's just, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. A whole other conversation of like, are we actually the target for that? Or are we aging ourselves out of the MMO target audience?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it is, you know, MMOs are designed for people that have a lot of time. And like, unfortunately, all of us are aged and old and walk with canes. Oh, no. And we don't necessarily have, you know, 10 hours a day to spend on a game as much as I'd love to. That'd be incredible. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I know.
So.
Cool. Well, tell us about Mass Effect Retaliation.
Yeah, Hillary, tell us about it.
So, Mass Effect 3 has new multiplayer content, which is super exciting. Do you guys want to play this weekend, by the way?
Yes.
Borderlands.
No, I want to play. I want to play
some multiplayer. There's collectors and guns and stuff.
No, I want to play both. So, yeah, I think the Retaliation pack looks freaking incredible. And yes. I was actually blown away by how much is in it. It's ridiculous. Oh, it's like,
I know.
I was like, wait, what? Wait, what? Wait, what? It keeps going and going. It's exactly. Like, other effects and like new badges. And like, I'm like, what is going on with this fucking game? Like,
I want to know what's going on with October 9th. Like that is like a day that all gamers will celebrate.
I know.
I mean,
that's why I'm taking off work.
What do you think? But I do want to do the operation this weekend. Anyone who's out there,
I'll play.
I'll totally play this weekend.
Okay, cool.
So tell us a little bit about some of the details for our listeners because this will be coming out probably the day that the DLC comes out. So if you listen to this podcast, you're like, oh, crap, there's new DLC. You should listen up for all the stuff that is in it because it'll probably bring you back to ME3.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me that I'm excited about is that there's a whole new enemy faction. Because, you know, it's always fun to play with, like, you know, the Geth and the Reapers. But now that you have the collectors, that's going to be so crazy. I mean, you have like the Praetorian, I think it's called, the big one. Yep. And then like the abominations and the troopers. And I mean, I remember from Mass Effect 2, those things creeped me out, especially the ones with the big bubbles.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So
and the shockwaves.
Like, Yes, the collectors are like my true enemy. Like, I've never disagreed with a faction more. Yeah, exactly. And they're so creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome. So, new faction, and there's going to be some new guns as well. I mean, as if there aren't already 8,000 guns, but there's some new collector weapons. They're making the collector rifle available, because it used to only be available if you had, like, Razor stuff. But now, I guess it's available.
Uh-oh. Stoli's very excited.
Stoli's so, excited for Mass Effect.
Yeah, and new classes. Like, I think there's one called the Ghost Infiltrator that I'm really interested in playing.
Yeah, Turians.
Yes, yeah. Turians.
And there's a Turian with a jetpack. I don't know what that's about, but I think that...
It's about awesome, Ash. It's about awesome.
That's true. They just keep making more and more awesome stuff.
Right, exactly.
Like, if you see the trailer for this, which everyone should watch, it'll give you total nerd bumps, because it just is like, it's ridiculous. It shows like all the character classes from, you know, all the DLC packs kind of fighting against the collectors. So you have like, you know, you have Geth, and you have Krogan, and then you have... you know, Vorcha doing his little roar and his thong. It's amazing. So,
oh my God. It's so... Well, and then you have the challenge feature, which is I've totally not seen what this looks like at all. I mean, I'm looking at it online right now. It looks pretty awesome. So you can challenge your friends to new challenges, right? With different guns and different point assessments. So that should be, I mean, that's like a whole new layer of multiplayer on top of it being already pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, it's like more achievements, only not achievements.
I know, where's Scott?
Exactly. This DLC announcement, it literally amazes me, because I had kind of finally, after like months and months of playing it, I'd kind of finally moved on from Mass Effect DLC, because I'd gotten into playing League of Legends and Borderlands 2 was out, so I was like, I'm kind of done with this. And then they're like, no, you're not. You're totally not done with this. And you're like, you're right, Bioware, I'm not done. I'm ready to be back now.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally changed. I mean, it's still the same stuff, but I mean, they've added that extra layer, because I mean, I love multiplayer. I think it's probably one of the best like online games that I've ever played with people. I mean, I don't think I wasn't really into multiplayer before Mass Effect 3 too much. So, I mean, with Call of Duty, sure, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, now that they're adding, you know, it's almost like a new game. It's like I don't know. It's like a new version, or I don't know. I'm excited about it.
No, it's cool. I mean, it is, and it's a lot of content. And the weather effects. I don't know if you looked at that, but it's crazy. There's like different storms and stuff, and
like the whiteout.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. So it's gonna really change the way that you play, and you know, the fact that all this is free DLC is just incredible. So this makes me happy that there are microtransactions in Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. A lot of people were pissed because they're like, oh, you know, you can buy these packs now. But if it enables them to actually create new content without charging the player for that new content, then that's incredible. So kudos.
Yes.
Okay, talking about your weather thing, it says survive the onslaught of acid, lightning, meltdowns, sandstorms, swarms, and whiteouts. Oh, wow.
Swarms, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Dude, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's really
okay.
Cool.
I am super excited about that.
I am.
Are you guys actually excited about this, though?
We are.
No, yes.
We are. We're actually excited.
I don't know if you're getting that sense that we're excited about this.
I can't tell. You guys, it's like you're kind of like, monotone about it, not really super into it.
I'm trying to be, well, I mean, I guess it's okay, I guess. No, it's that. I'm super excited.
No, I am too. Now to only find the time between this and Borderlands and XCOM and everything else that's already creeping.
And I have a silly game that I'm reviewing right now for Press to Reset that just came to me in the mail, and I have to find time to play it.
Ooh, good luck, sir.
Is it really silly, or are you just saying that to make us not jealous?
No, it's really silly. Like, it's called Carrier Command, Gaia Mission. I don't know. It came with, like, a letter about all these bugs, and, like, right at the top, there's this paragraph that's like, yes, it's like right at the top. The first sentence is like, just so you know, 30% of games, you get about two-thirds of the way through it, and it breaks, and you can't win. And I'm like, great.
That sounds, I can't wait. This sounds excellent. Yeah.
Yay! I hope it happens to me.
Good stuff. So Hillary, talk to us about this Microsoft bringing Halo to YouTube, because I don't think I know about this.
Yeah, so I saw this yesterday and was shocked. Just I don't know if you guys remember when Microsoft was talking to a bunch of different Hollywood studios about making a Halo film, and there was all of this drama that went around it because they couldn't have creative ownership of it. Do you guys remember that at all?
Yes,
I do.
Yeah.
Didn't, so what like, they've two done? Pretty high-profile directors walk from it at some point.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, everyone thought it was dead. And then, you know, there was all this speculation about how video game companies just can't make movies. Like, they just should not be involved. They're too much at stake. Corporate people don't know how to make movies. Remember all of that?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-oh. You vanished.
Hollywood history of success.
Yeah, and they're skipping theaters and going straight to YouTube. So that's they're insane. Making their... I know, they're making their own 90-minute film called what's it called, Forward Unto Dawn.
Yeah
And it's gonna be kind of episodic, where they release different parts, so it'll be more like a web series, and then it'll be on YouTube for a time, and then they'll pull it off and release it on Blu-ray.
That's which incredible.
That to me though is like that's the ultimate in silly, that they're gonna put it up there and then take it down, because like once it's out there on YouTube, it like capturing video off of YouTube is like the easiest thing ever.
Yeah
So it's like, why take it down? Like, just put it out.
Yeah, I mean it's being hosted on Machinima Prime. That's the channel it'll be on, and then it'll be in 15-minute increments. I mean, it's an interesting thing. I'm really curious to see this if this will work. If it does, you know, it may change the face of what we know. You know, I mean, YouTube's already kind of taking over TV anyway. Mm-hmm. Is it really that big of a leap to think it's going to take over everything else?
Well, it'll definitely be interesting to see, because, I mean, it has to be the most expensive YouTube project like ever. It's like a $10 million budget.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but, I mean, hope movies, the guy can direct.
Movies are notoriously like hundreds of millions. So it's actually 10% of the cost of, I mean, we'll have to see what the production value is, but that really is a whole lot cheaper than the traditional Hollywood model.
Sure. I think it makes sense.
I hope it's not a $10 million mistake, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm trying to see when it debuts.
It's like soon. It's like in a couple of weeks.
Oh, is it? Yeah, there's an ad on for it on live today. So if you check your Xbox,
This was released yesterday, and it says the film airs starting tomorrow, so today. So apparently it's on today, the first one, leading up to... It says the film airs starting tomorrow in 5 15-minute segments on the YouTube channel Machinima Prime, leading up to the game's debut on November 6th.
Interesting.
There, I mean, I don't think... First of all, Machinima probably paid through the ass to get this exclusive on their channel. So Microsoft probably already come close to breaking even on the project without even having to worry. Mm-hmm. And then they'll make their money back up in advertising. But I don't think pulling it is the worst idea ever. I know people can copy and put it up, but what they're going to do is then put out like a high quality Blu-ray with.
They already said that they were going to do that. They're going to put it out with the game. You can get like a collector's edition. It has a DVD in it.
And I'm sure it'll have extra content and behind the scenes and stuff like
that. It has an additional 15 minutes for a suggested $28.99.
I don't think it's the worst idea. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think the more, like I often, Melissa and I did this the other day with this black comedy called Butter. Have you seen Butter? It's black. You know what it is. God, Ash, why do you giggle? We try to save you from sounding like a horrible perverted racist all the time, and yet you laugh at these things that we can't help you on.
You don't understand how normal I have to be all week, and this is my only time.
Melissa and I watched this movie called Butter, which is like in theaters now. We rented it for, you know, $10 or whatever on Amazon, I think. And I enjoy this model. I think it's good for smaller, non-gigantic blockbuster movies that, you know, want to come out and still hit audiences that maybe they wouldn't gain by going into the theater against, you know, Looper or some multi... Well, that wasn't actually a gigantic movie, but you know what I mean? Like these big budget movies. I think this is an awesome model. So I hope it works for Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at the very least, it's just like, I mean, it's a $10 million marketing campaign, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which isn't ridiculous. That's not ridiculous in marketing campaign money at all.
Well, not for Halo 4. I mean,
no way. It is for a lot of games, but not Halo.
Right.
What they say in here, the franchise has generated more than $3 billion in revenue.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny, though, because, I mean, I had to look for something to find this. Like, I don't feel like they've advertised this heavily enough.
Well, if it's out now, you're probably going to see it advertised all over the place on the Xbox. So just watch it right there on the console.
That's true.
And my guess is their approach is, I mean, it's for core fans anyway. Like, if you're really into Halo, you probably know about it.
Right.
And that's it's not like they're looking to attract new people, I don't think.
And that was the other thing I was going to say, is this more fan service than it is anything else? Is it just kind of, hey, here you go, or like, trust us, this new studio is making something cool, here's a teaser for it?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, maybe it's a way to gauge reaction. I mean, if it does really well, then maybe they'll consider making like a real, like, full budget movie. I mean, it's $10 million is low risk for a company like Microsoft to make a movie, to see how it goes.
They were all in with, I think the budget was like $135 million. They were all in to do the movie. They just couldn't, they didn't want to relinquish control creatively. And they didn't want, I think
It was all about, it'd be terrible to really mess up that Halo story because it's so.
Yeah, exactly. so easy.
I mean, come on. Like, all I have to say is Super Mario Brothers. You can mess up a story even if it's convoluted and crappy on console.
That is true.
So,
I mean, if you set out to mess it up, yeah.
Well, I mean, it easily could happen, is what I'm saying. So, like, I think this is a smart move. We'll see. I'm kind of on the fence with movie game or game movies anyways, and I don't know. I've never seen a good one that isn't this kind of release that's like straight to DVD kind of thing. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Interesting.
Let's take a break and come back with some reviews.
Count where you got to three, you're gonna start using your
feet. He did it, don't worry.
I did it every week. It brings the joy. Okay, we are back from our quick break and we are going to do some reviews. We have Resident Evil 6, some more stuff about Borderlands 2, Looper. Hillary's going to talk about Lost, which is crazy. So let's start off with Resident Evil 6, which pretty much was physically and mentally abused this week in the news. Did you guys pay attention to Twitter at all when this game came out? What happened?
So
it got review bombed by people all over the world, essentially, who went in, and at one point it had a Metacritic score of like 0.3 or something crazy to that effect. And I think then Metacritic stopped accepting scores for a while because it was getting review bombed and yada yada. So I picked it up, I guess the day it came out on Tuesday, but I've been really reluctant to take Borderlands out of my tray.
Sure.
Because I've been enjoying it so much. I'm like, how am I going to play Resident Evil after hearing all this stuff? And since Borderlands is such a good time. But anyway, so I finally got a chance to play it last night and this morning. And, it's... I obviously haven't beaten it yet. I'm probably about 4 to 5 hours in to Resident Evil 6. And there's a couple things that I'll start out by saying I don't like. Okay, I don't like that there are selectable campaigns. I think that's a really bad thing to do for a narrative. Like in the old Resident Evil games, if there were multiple characters, you could start the narrative from a couple different perspectives and then play the game from a couple different angles. Well, now it's three different stories that I guess converge at some point. And then once you beat all three stories, you can play the fourth story. So it's rather than one giant game or one giant story, it's like four smaller ones, which I don't necessarily agree with. I don't think from a storytelling perspective, that's really the best way to tell the story. The other thing that I'm that instantly kind of struck me as a problematic with the game. First of all, it looks gorgeous. Like it looks borderline next gen. Like visually, it's unbelievable. But it's not fun to play. I mean, and here's the problem.
That's a problem.
Like I would love to sit there and watch it and see what happens and see the monsters and the creatures and all that. But when you actually get the game in your hands, there's so many problems. First of all, you finally, for the first time ever, you can move and shoot, which was a big deal with Resident Evil. And you know, everyone complained like why when you pull your gun out do you have to stay in one position? Well, now you can move and shoot and it makes a bit of a difference. But I think the main problem here is the enemy AI. Enemies will just like run kind of all over the place on a board and you'll be getting hit and have no idea which direction you're getting hit from. Some enemies will just stand still. Other enemies will like, you know, just keep bearing down on you and just destroy you essentially. There's no regenerating health, so you're still kind of at the mercy of finding herbs and stuff. The ammo is incredibly low. So even on normal, I found that within the first 2 hours, I died 5 or 6 times, which is not, you know, not a good way to like reel the player in. You know, we say before, a great way to start a game is you have to allow the player to feel cool and powerful from the very beginning. Otherwise, it's not an enjoyable experience. Like Japanese games are notoriously difficult and they almost have a different mentality with game playing. Like, you know, like it's almost bragging rights when you beat a Japanese title because it is so incredibly challenging and hard. But that is not fun. Like dying is not fun and having to go back and play the same part of the game over and over again is not fun. And like having 14 bullets in your 9mm, that's really not all that fun either. You know, when the game now relies a lot on shooting and there are a lot more enemies than in the old days, I don't want to sit there with my, you know, my Bowie knife with one knife animation sitting there like swiping over and over again. So the gameplay that I played wasn't great. It wasn't great. The shooting mechanics, they've improved, they've gotten better. There's now skill upgrades, so like you can get these little tokens that allow you to essentially spend experience, and you can do things like increase the stability of your weapon, you can increase firepower, things like that. So there is a little bit of like a RPG style upgrade system in this Resident Evil. I don't really know at this point where the story is going, so I can't really get too much into that. But in terms of the controls, that's what's really taking the fun out for me. Like I'm right now, you start off the introduction, the tutorial is Leon, and then you have a choice to choose between Wesker Jr., Leon, and Chris for the campaigns. Mm-hmm. And I started with Chris's campaign, and Chris's campaign is supposed to be like the more shooty campaign. And I wanted to see how that felt, but it doesn't feel right. You know, because they have a cover system, it's third person. So, you know, I've played a lot of third person cover based shooters and it doesn't perform like it should if it wants to be a third person cover based shooter. There's just not enough going on, you know?
Yeah.
And that seems to be the problem that Resident Evil kind of has, is that like it's trying to be an action title without being an action title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just half of an action game and it's not. Not what it should be. Yeah. I feel like that's kind of what you're saying on your own here too.
Yeah, and you know, and to be perfectly honest, it's not terrible. If the enemies perform differently, it would work fine. But the problem is they're incredibly fast and they do a whole lot of damage when they hit you. So it's like you have this kind of sluggish, you know, shooting mechanic and not a whole lot of ammo, and then you're going up against enemies that are superior to how you are at the beginning of the game. And it's just kind of, you know, very punishing and not a whole lot of fun. You know, there's these giant action sequences with like exploding helicopters and crap going all over the place. And here I am with, you know, 11 bullets in a 9mm and, you know, no healing herb. And I'm just like, I can't do anything.
They're going for realism.
Yeah. You have to pick up a shrub from the ground and like quickly mix it in the middle of combat. So
are you just going to chew on the sticks and leaves?
Yeah. So to be honest, like I'll probably review this again in full when I've beaten all the campaigns and gotten into it. But my first impressions of the first 3 or 4 hours, I'm slightly disappointed. Visually, it looks great. The music, I'm really enjoying the music. voice acting is top notch. I think the American voice cast did a really good job. But in terms of actually like enjoyment, I was just like counting the moments till I could pop it out and put Borderlands back in.
Have you gotten any of the friendly AI yet or no?
Yeah, so you start off with a companion, and it's actually pretty intuitive. Like your companion will aid you when you're down. So I've never fallen down and the companion has not come to help me. It does well with its own shooting. It's very, very helpful. But at the same time, it does the thing where, you know, your enemy AI companion, they make immortal, because otherwise it would just die constantly and it would probably be a huge annoyance. So that's kind of like a little bit of a cheat. Like you can just sit back and watch the AI run around and fight other AI. That could be considered game breaking right there. Like anything you don't want to do, you can let, you know, the AI run around and fight it themselves. Mm. So it's kind of silly.
Story tone wise, is it?
Well, it's dark. It's really, I mean, I think this time they're really, really trying to tell a story. And that's kind of what I like about it. Like it starts off, it's a non-linear story. So you kind of start off, I think, at the end of the game. So you start off with, this is just the first 5 seconds, but you start off with Leon, like mortally wounded, and Leon's sidekick mortally wounded. And you're like escaping this like completely decimated town. And it's awesome. Like you escape this helicopter crash and stuff's exploding. And it feels very, 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 much like the intro to Resident Evil 2, which is, you know, a lot of people say it's the best game in the series. So the first 10 minutes of the game are really great. Then I started playing the Chris campaign and I was like, this is just not great. Like it felt very claustrophobic. The camera couldn't keep up with my movements. It was just like enemy. I can't even really get into it, but you're fighting in very confined spaces and there's shit all around you. So I think it's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable, but it also was just not enjoyable. So, but the story itself, you know, I haven't gotten too far into it, but I'm liking what I'm seeing. Like there've already been a couple flashbacks and you're getting to know the characters more than you have in the past, because, you know, the Resident Evil games, while they were heavy on story, the story never made any sense. So,
So remember when you didn't like KOA? And you said after I was like, this is the most amazing game ever. And you're like, I should give it a try. It might have been because I had just finished Skyrim. Yeah. Like, do you think that maybe if Borderlands 2 wasn't out right now, you may have more patience for Resident Evil?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if this would have come out 2 months ago when there was nothing out, I probably would have played it from beginning to end. But the problem is there's a lot of titles that are out now and about to be out that are, you know, really
seemingly better.
Yeah. Really top notch stuff. So it's going to be hard for me to, you know, want to spend the 40 hours on Resident Evil when it's not a completely enjoyable experience. You know, I think all of us are willing to forgive like minor hiccups in games and we'll probably plow through them and, you know, kind of overlook some of the minor gripes. And I think like playing Resident Evil, I'll probably get better at the combat system, and I'll actually probably get pretty good at it after 3 or 4 more hours. But, you know, after playing, like I said, a lot of third person cover based shooters, like it just doesn't perform well.
Hmm. Right. And I mean, in your example, Hillary, like KOA that's a brand new IP. It's from a new studio. It's a whole new thing. So it's like, you kind of expect it to maybe not be as polished, but Jesus, Resident Evil has been around forever. They should know what they're doing.
Yeah. I think the problem is most of the guys that have worked on the original series have left, and there are people from Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 5 that are working on 6, but not like the whole core team. You know, the team is split up. I mean, most of Capcom at this point has split up and gone their separate ways. Yeah.
Well, I feel like they've kind of, so like 4 kind of broke out from the Resident Evil mold a little bit and made its own world somewhat. Like, it kind of made its own setting. It feels like they did what they wanted to do with 4. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like with 5 and 6, they've been trying to, like, play catch-up with other games or something. Instead of just being like, here is Resident Evil, it was like, here's a weird co-op Resident Evil, and here's a weird multi-storied action Resident Evil. And you're like, just make Resident Evil, man. Like, we were okay with 1 through 4. Why don't you just make another one that is its own game? It stands on its own. It doesn't need to be action. It doesn't need to be co-op. Like, that's great. That's fun, I guess, but it's not required, you know?
Seriously, I honestly think the thing that makes Resident Evil such a hard game to develop is that it's called Resident Evil. And they're constantly trying to placate a fan base who doesn't want to play the style of game that they want to make.
Yeah.
So you kind of have, there's a line in the sand. They have to decide what they're going to do. They're either going to make a game for the fans or they're going to make the game they want to make.
Yeah.
And they don't try and do that. They try and do this like half-wit sort of in between thing, and it doesn't work for anyone. So that's horrible.
That's the great example. What you just said is perfect, because they actually developed like each one of the campaigns. Like, this is our traditional horror campaign. The Leon campaign is very slow paced and scary. And like, here's our American style Chris Redfield campaign where there's a lot of guns and people are shooting at you, because some people like that too. And then there's like, and then there's this all new one that's kind of a blend of the two. And it's like, wait a second, like, why are you doing that? Like,
yeah,
just make a good game. Like, make a single game that's good, and you can have elements of all of that in there, you know?
So well, speaking of pulling Resident Evil out and putting Borderlands in, let's talk more about Borderlands 2, guys.
Yes. And
I know I need to start this game. Like, it moved. Normally I put stuff by my Xbox. I've literally moved it to the kitchen, so that when I go into the kitchen, it's like staring at me, which is weird.
Being that you're a wife is all the time, right?
Oh, did zing!
Oh, actually, no, I'm in the kitchen quite a lot.
I'm jealous of that.
I appreciate that you were about to counter, and then you're like, no, I am.
No, that's true.
I do cook a
lot. I actually like cooking. Damn it.
One of the reasons why I wanted to bring up Borderlands 2 again is because Nate did not get to talk about it enough on his podcast.
Oh, twice. We've tried to talk about it for 2 weeks, and Melissa puts the kibosh on it every time.
Yes. Why? So we're gonna let you have that. You're gonna just be able to gush on this podcast, sir. So so let's go ahead and just kind of talk about where we all are. I finished the campaign a couple days ago, and I'm running through campaign 2 now. I'm playing with Axton. I think I'm level 45, so I'm getting close to the cap, which is pretty cool. And other than that, I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. I did a lot of co-op. Derek and I are right around the same level, so I'm playing with my buddy Derek, and we're helping each other out get through some of the hard parts of the new game plus, which is actually pretty damn difficult. So what about the rest of you guys?
Well, I'm level 39 on playthrough 2. For PC. So that's where I'm at there. And I'm playing with the same two people all the time. It's my friend Denise and my friend JJ. We play, I don't know, pretty much every night we're playing on PC. And then I'm about halfway through the story. I'm level 21 on PlayStation 3. And so we just got past, let's see, Sanctuary, I think. Yeah, Sanctuary just flew away there. And then I'm about level 12 on Xbox.
Nice, nice, yeah. Nice.
So I'm all over the place because I have to have it everywhere.
Different characters in each playthrough, or?
Yeah, well, and it's actually like I have three different playthroughs on PC, so I've played with everyone. Like I have my main character that I first started with on the PC that I'm farthest along with is Zero, but I've played with Axton. I've actually started playing with Salvador the other day. Like, it's crazy. I didn't realize he was that short. Like,
yeah,
he's really short.
That's incredible to see.
Right.
I mean, he's a dwarf, to be perfectly honest. I mean, he doesn't look like it in the pictures, like the screens and stuff. But when you play as him and you realize he comes up to Zero's waist, you're like, oh,
yeah,
Salvador's a midget.
Yeah. And it's like it takes some getting used to, because like I'd gotten really used to aiming and all that stuff and getting headshots and all that. But it's like I got him and now I have to point up all the time because he's so much shorter than everybody else. And I'm just like, and he gets lost behind like environment all the time. Like he can't see over it. So you can't aim over shit. It's like really kind of annoying. But his Gunzerker is so badass when he's just like dual wielding and just rolling around.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, he's super fun. I like him a lot. I love everything about this game. Like, seriously, I cannot get enough of it. Yeah.
Okay,
so great.
As a noob, so I have not even opened the box yet.
Good.
It's yeah.
It makes
so
for a good podcast.
So when you first start off, so there's a single player campaign but there's also multiplayer. Tell me why the multiplayer is important.
Well, they're the same campaign.
Yeah, same campaign.
Oh, okay.
It's just that the game is all about co-op. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
For one, it is absolutely, if you're not playing as Axton, it is punishing to play by yourself
because
the game
agree,
is so hard. Oh, God. I tried playing it solo as Zero and I just got stomped.
Well, then I play as I play.
Well, you, sir, are far superior to me than
I'm soloing with Zero. It's the only game that I can solo like as a not the only game. It's the only way I can solo is as a like assassin or a sniper. I can never. I'm horrible at running into fights and then I just die immediately all the time. So
that's probably my problem is that I always equate Zero into like he's almost like a Vanguard in that he has an execute move where he'll move really close in and you get sort of into the action even though you didn't intend to. And that's what happens to me a lot. I end up in the middle of a firefight and I'm getting shot.
So yeah, like, I think I play are you talking about like his vanish move, like the where you get in?
Yeah.
So like I was telling Scott this, I actually use that defensively more often than offensively. So if I'm starting to die, I usually save it. And if I somehow end up in the middle of a fight or I get surrounded or something, I'll vanish and then bolt out of the fight.
Oh, see, that's smart. See, you're just smarter than me.
Yeah, because I think I talked to Ash when I first got the game, and you know, I'm the same way as you are, Matt. About I'd rather be a sniper assassin, especially if it's something I'm unfamiliar with. I'll probably
are just amazing in this game.
Yeah, I'll probably play Zero.
Zero's a fun character. I really like him, but you should totally play with other people. The game is just a ton better.
Yeah.
No, Nate, I hate everyone.
So I solo through the first playthrough. Ash and I talked about this a little because Scott was immediately like, let's all co-op. And I'm like, well, I kind of want to just play the story because that's what I did in the first one too. I played through the story solo and then I co-opted like all over the place and loved it because I didn't care as much about hearing, you know, what people were saying and what was going on because I kind of already knew the gist of it and I would just kind of move through it. But I do like playing through it solo just to get that kind of story experience because it does exist in this game pretty heavily and it's fun, you know.
Great characters too.
Totally. And I think they tell the story really well because I mean, like, I don't feel like I've missed anything. But again, it's the people that I'm playing with. We're all in that story mindset. We don't have the one person that's just like, let's run and kill everything. Everybody is concerned with the story and everybody wants to hear it. So and it makes it easier. But
so I did meet Tiny Tina, Ash.
Oh man.
That is Anthony Birch, the guy we were talking about from Hey Ash, What You Playing? That's Ash. That's his sister.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So he had talked about it. I heard an interview with him. And he had talked about how he got his sister in to voice a character and that it was just kind of like a crazy. He was like, you'll just have to hear it. He's like, it's just a crazy character. I wrote that she's voicing. She's hilarious. I love it.
She is absolutely hilarious. The whole game is like, I don't know. Borderlands. Even in the first one, the writing is good because it's funny, but it's like the story is kind of weak and it's, you know, it's all about just co-op mayhem, looting and blah, blah, blah. This one, again, they have the humor and everything that's there. And it's funny like no other game that I've played, at least. Like,
It's so self-referential. It's so like in the now with some of its jokes. Like it understands humor on a good level, you know? So it's just fun. Like you enjoy it because it's not like a friend. Ryan, who's been on the podcast a bunch of times, and I were talking about it, and he was asking like what the difference between this kind of humor and something like what was that game, Ash? Dick Tits.
Yeah, that's the game I always think of. Bulletstorm.
Like, what's the difference between it? And I said, well, Bulletstorm felt to me like it was like trying to force that humor. Like, oh, look, we're so like this is like a funny macho joke, and this game is more like, you know, it's your funny friend who tells funny stories and like will make fun of himself, you know, or whatever. Like it just understands what it's doing with humor a lot better, I feel like, than trying to force the joke down your throat. Even the little things that happen, like Claptrap, when he's just running around and he's like, hey, you want to hear my new dubstep song? And then he starts going like, whoop, 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 drop, whoop, 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 whoop. And you're like, I'm just like cracking up laughing because they're like making fun of their own commercial in a way. And they're making it's just everything is just done tastefully and like in a really good sense of humor, you know.
Totally. Absolutely. And there's something for everybody because it's like, I know I don't know how I managed to not lose it on Anna when she was talking about how she doesn't like Handsome Jack and like doesn't think he's a good and it's like, I'm fine with not liking him, but she doesn't think he's a good character and she thinks he's not well written and all this stuff. I'm like, you're crazy. Handsome Jack is like, his humor is so clever and like,
and once you find out his origin too, he is like the biggest dick in like gaming history. Like, I like love to hate him, you know.
Right, and the voice actor did brilliant. Like, it's just Handsome Jack is great delivery. His humor is clever and funny all the time. But then you got characters like Scooter, who's just like silly and kind of like really senseless. More of that you know, Bulletstorm kind of humor, and it's still funny. Like Scooter, I love talking to Scooter because just the way that he delivers his lines is just, he's always making me laugh.
Yeah, and that's actually the lead writer, Mikey Newman. He voices Scooter, which is weird, but that's it's true. The guy that wrote it actually voices Scooter, which is crazy.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Scooter, I love him.
Yeah. So anyway, so Borderlands, Hillary, sorry, you're probably like, oh God, I just need to play this game. It's great, and it gets better. It gets better as you progress. Like the cap right now is level 50, and you know, you will probably beat the game right around level 30 when you play it, but then you get to start over and the game starts over with new enemy types, harder enemies, you know, new guns and everything like that. So it definitely rewards you for playing through it a second time. And it is definitely. Just it is just an absolute blast.
And if you pre-ordered it, do not forget to put the code in to unlock the gold chest, because I don't know what you guys got out of it, but I got a friggin' ridiculous rocket launcher from it. So
did you?
And there's a scheme to that. If you do that, Hillary, if you wait, if you use the code and you get the key, wait until the end of the game.
Oh yes. I waited till about 15 and I got this thing is unbelievable. Like it fits my level. I could use it right away, but it does something like, it does like 3,800 damage at level 15, which is just, it basically kills anything on site with one shot.
Right. But so, I waited and used mine right before final boss. Yeah, like right before the final boss battle. And I got this sniper rifle that does 1,600 damage. Yeah. And I was like, yes. And it was incendiary, so it lit people on fire.
Awesome.
That's incredible.
Oh, wow.
Well, so that's actually
Here's my dilemma. Here's my dilemma. So if I start it now, I'm going to get all like wrapped up in it. I still haven't. I really want to build the stupid house in Skyrim. Like I'm not even kidding. Like I have to build this house. and then Dishonored comes out on Tuesday. So I'm almost thinking that I might wait on Borderlands, build my house in Skyrim, and then play Dishonored when it comes out on Tuesday.
You should wait. You should do your first playthrough on Borderlands with a new character that comes out on October 15th.
Yes, the Mecro.
So should be your first character, because then you could just talk about that, because we don't know what she's like yet. So you'll be the pro on her.
Ooh, it's a her?
Yeah. It's a her. Yeah. She's awesome. She has a pet
who controls
robot.
Little mechs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love it. Okay, cool.
Cool. Oh, one thing. So
it's a deal.
There is a segue with the keys you guys are talking about, because Gearbox has started to do a promotion. They're giving away golden keys to unlock that chest. If you follow their Twitter account, which is at Gearbox Software, for the next few days, and I don't even know for how much longer, they're going to be giving away Shift codes, and Shift is their online community site. Mm-hmm. So if you sign up for Shift, which is right on your Xbox Live dashboard or PC dashboard or whatever under extras, if you sign up for Shift, you get a golden key. And if you put in these Shift codes, you get a golden key. The cool thing about the Shift codes is when they tweet them out, they have unlimited uses, so everyone that sees it can tweet it out, but you can only use it once. So it's not a one-time use code.
Yeah, also, it's good for like 3 hours.
Yes, it's only good for three
hours.
That's
awesome.
Catch it, yeah. And like Nate said, it's probably good to save them till the very end of the game, just like hoard your keys, and then you'll get like level 50 really amazing stuff. If you can hold off, that's the best thing.
Well, I mean, you can get more than one. You can unlock the chest multiple times. So.
Oh, I've done it 6 times.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It relocks and then you just get a new key and unlock it again. You get a new
Key.
Yeah. You can just keep doing it. It's great.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's that with the Borderlands talk.
Awesome.
Great game. So definitely anyone who has not picked it up.
Amazing game. Listen, I'm just going to put this out here is that seriously, I love Mass Effect 3, but I'm almost in a headspace right now where Borderlands 2 is a better game.
It's interesting. They're definitely, for me, I'm still going to say Mass Effect 3 multiplayer is a better co-op experience. I don't know. It's close, but they're both incredible. So it's like, you know, saying which is better, a butt rub or a foot rub?
Obviously.
I don't think it's like that at all.
Hold on, guys. I don't know, Ash. Which one is better, butt rub or foot rub?
I don't know. I've never gotten a butt rub, so I live a lonely life.
What?
I don't need to go any further into this tip.
I think I'm done with this, yeah.
So, Zune HD.
Speaking of butt rubs, there's something called the looper.
Wait, called what?
On our list in front of me right now.
You cut out for a second.
The looper. Looper the
looper
pooper.
The pooper.
Looper the pooper. Yeah. So, no one here has seen Looper but me. So Looper came out, I guess, 2 weeks ago at this point. And just a very quick review. If you like time travel, this is probably one of the most unique time travel films I think I've ever seen. The concept is really, I won't give anything away by saying this, but the only people that control time travel in the future are the Mafia. So the Mafia is in control of time travel, which is really kind of cool. It's outlawed. The government knows it exists, but the penalty for using time travel is like, you know, death. So no one uses it except for the mob because they don't care. What the mob does, though, is because in the future, disposing of a body is close to impossible because of forensics and stuff. They send the body back about 40 years, maybe 40 years, 30 years in the past. I think it's about 30 years. So they send the bodies 30 years in the past where they have agents waiting to dispose of the bodies. And how the cycle works is eventually the mob will send the assassin back in time from the future, and the assassin will have to assassinate himself. And that's called closing the loop. And that's the way they close up all their loose ends. And so it's all about what happens when the assassin receives himself as a target. And it's a pretty interesting film.
Wow.
So wait, so how far in the future is this supposed to be?
So the young Joseph Gordon-Levitt is supposed to be, I think, 2044, I want to say. Okay. And then the old Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who is Bruce Willis, is supposed to be like 2060 something. So.
Did you ever see Primer?
No.
Oh. Well, then never mind.
So what you're saying is that it's better than a movie like Jumper, even though that's not time travel. Well, like, for some reason, Looper and Jumper just make me go, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I don't know how to really handle that question, but
shut up.
Because they're not really related at all. They just
okay. First
similar.
Of all, I would just like to remind everyone that I'm sitting on the floor.
What I do have to say about Looper, it has one of the best. One of the questions people have about time travel is like, what would happen to you if the future version or the past version of you got hurt? Okay, so let me paint this picture. Okay, future me, right? Time travels back to the past where current me lives, and then current me gets hurt. What happens to future me? So does future me all of a sudden get hurt as well? You know, sort of like a Back to the Future-esque, like Marty McFly.
The butterfly effect.
Yes, exactly. So there's a scene where the past version of someone is getting carved up by a doctor and having pieces of them removed. And you get to see them vanish off a person, the future version of the person, like in real time. So they're like running down the street and then their leg is not there and they just kind of flop to the ground.
Wow.
And then their
nose
disappears and then it's fucking horrible. They get carved to pieces. It's amazing.
So wait, so how does that even happen? Because if you future self goes back to the past and
coexists alongside past self, and then past self gets mutilate, then future self will
moving forward change.
Wait, what? Say
so anyone that they kill wouldn't be killed because they would have never existed.
Oh, so now you're talking about paradox, which makes the internet explode. I can't do it. I don't know.
I have a more important question. Looper also makes me think of Bradley Cooper. How do those two compare?
Shut up. No, but I was thinking because I'm gonna walk you through. Let me walk you through my Jumper Looper reasoning here. So when Jumper came out, it was like, okay, you can jump anywhere within present time. You can jump anywhere all over the world. It doesn't matter. You're special. You can go anywhere. Looper means you can jump forward or backward.
It doesn't actually mean that, though.
No, it doesn't.
Whatever.
Man. So we can stay on time travel, and Hillary, you can talk about your first experiences with Lost.
Exactly. That's perfect.
There you go.
Speaking of jumping around and not making sense, so there's this TV show called Lost. Pretty awesome. So I'm thinking that, you know how we had the summer game pile? I think we should have the autumn TV pile.
I actually used to do Netflix runs. So I would talk about like movies and shows that were on Netflix that you should watch.
Yes. Okay, perfect. This is on
Amazon. So it fits in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I never really got into Lost because every time I tried to watch it, there was so much backstory and there was so much jumping around that I just could not get interested. There were just too many people, too many characters, too many subplots. I couldn't handle it. So now that I'm watching it from beginning season one, and I'm planning on watching the whole thing, it's actually pretty interesting. I'm really tired of flashbacks, so that's probably a problem for me. But
it's
gonna be a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait till the flash sideways start.
Oh no!
Yeah.
So you know, there's certain things that I do actually really like. The questions that get asked. So you know, I just watched the episode where the big guy. We find out that he was, you know, locked in an insane asylum, that, you know, his buddy was not really real. And then it turns out that the woman he's interested in was also at the same asylum or clinic or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
So like things like that, it's like, oh, wow. And the fact that everyone's connected, pretty cool. But
yeah, I would like you to talk about Lost every week so we can hear Ash try not to yell out things about what's going to happen in the show.
Oh, no, she just got killed. Michael just like... came back from the others and
you just
and
spoiled Lost season one for everyone
because it's not been out for like ever.
Spoiler
okay,
alert.
So I'm guessing
jumper in the looper.
Right, so I'm guessing Ash, you're a big fan of Lost.
I watched every episode as it aired, and then when it was over I put my head in the microwave and tried to kill myself.
That's something to look forward to.
I'm not a fan of Lost at all.
No,
I was not either. Nate, we are so alike.
I like the characters. I like the characters a lot.
I tried really hard to watch it. I watched like a season and a half, and eventually I was like, nah, I can't do this anymore.
I went to a bunch of the watching parties at Ash's house, and every time I just was like, ugh, I can't get into this show.
I can't either. There's too many questions and not enough answers. I hate it.
The real question I have for Hillary, though, is did you watch the show just to spite me by not watching The Wire?
The reason I decided not to go with The Wire was because so many people have been demanding that I watch this show. So because of people's demands, I'm not the kind of person that listens to demands quite often.
Wait, I'm not the only one telling you to watch The Wire?
No. Uh-huh. Have you not seen Twitter? People are like, what TV show should I watch? And all of a sudden, like several people in all caps, The Wire. I'm like, okay, great. I know I'm going to like it, but I'm going to delay my gratification and your gratification for telling me what to do. So I'm going to watch Lost, the longest series of questions that will probably never be answered ever.
How are you giving yourself a time limit on trying to finish this show or no?
I get through them pretty fast. So yeah. It's usually on. I can't honestly say that I'm devoting 100% attention to it. I may be writing emails and press releases at the time.
You're watching Lost and not paying attention to it?
Super good show to do that with.
Yeah, you're going to get real confused.
Yeah, no, it's actually really funny because Dave is watching it too. And I'll look up. Who's that guy?
Oh, you're one of those. Questioners.
Dave gets so mad. He's like, did you not watch the episode 3 episodes ago where the blah, 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 blah? I'm like, no. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Oh, well, it's a good show. I recommend it.
I applaud your drive to watch these shows because you finished Battlestar too, right?
I loved that show.
So
that show's amazing.
I applaud your drive to watch these shows that are in back order, but... I do wish it was The Wire and not Lost, but you know, whatever.
I will watch The Wire. The thing is, what I've done is, you know, I really want to get more familiar with pop culture that I'm not currently familiar with. Sure. So I know that, you know, Battlestar Galactica was huge, and Lost was huge, and at the time when they were on, when they were current, I couldn't get into it because if you didn't know the backstory, if you weren't already invested, it's really hard to pick up the story in the middle. So now that they're all done and I know that there's a complete start and a complete end, I'm more interested in watching the story. You know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we will be right back with our nerd appropriate question of the week, which we don't even know what it is. That's how mysterious it is because they were questions you asked us.
Naquatos.
This is the Naquato.
This is multiple Naquatos.
So many Naquatos.
We'll be right back.
I hear Hillary.
I'm so glad Hillary invented the word Naquato.
You know what? Go be a jumper.
Oh.
I prefer loopers.
Fine.
I'm into Bradley Cooper. All right. Good thing Scott's not going to get this episode. He would cut that forever. From you, the listeners, to us, the people here.
That's our official title, the people here.
I'm a people?
The people that made it onto Skype this morning. So let's jump into it. We're all going to answer these, right?
Yeah. So again, how this works is we stole this format from Reset Transmission. This is what they do every week. They have the community ask them questions. And so they kind of bask in their own glory.
I will admit,
true. We're very us-focused.
We talked about doing this a while ago, and I said no because I was terrified no one would ask a question.
Yeah.
We got over that early on.
I do have to say, this was like pulling teeth to get people to ask us questions. Normally, we get a lot of, when we ask questions, we get a lot of replies, but this one was like, wait, what do we do? Like, people didn't get it.
I don't know how this works.
Yeah, so we did get some really good ones, so I'm curious to see what you guys are going to say. So who wants to start off?
You can.
All right, so the first one is from our friend Amanda, who is at FluidFire on Twitter. And she says, if you magically had the opportunity to have an old favorite uploaded with new graphics or voice acting or combat or anything like that, which would it be, why, and what would you most want to see done with it? And I thought of this one because I read this and put it in here. So I'm going to go ahead and give you guys time to think. But mine would be definitely Star Control 2. And that's the title we talked about with Patrick Weeks a few weeks ago. Fighters. Yes. And so for those that don't know what Star Control 2 was, it's a lot like Mass Effect. But it came out in the 90s. So it's all about someone from Earth gathering alien races to defeat this giant alien race who's kind of sweeping across the galaxy and destroying everyone. And so you go through and you ally a bunch of alien factions together and you build a fleet and you fight against these aliens. Very familiar sounding, huh? So
yeah.
This version, however, the Star Control universe, you actually pilot the ships. So that would be the big difference. So a new version of Star Control with different pilotable ships would be incredible. So unlike Mass Effect, there's no ground combat. There's resource gathering, which actually is pretty much identical to Mass Effect. There's dialogue trees, kind of similar to Mass Effect as well, but also ship combat, which is great. So I would love to see Star Control 2 remade or just rebirth of the Star Control universe.
Awesome. I have an answer as well. Mine would be an old Genesis title that I played the living hell out of, which is Shining Force 1 or 2.
I remember those games.
And I would love to see a sort of XCOM Enemy Unknown remake with high definition graphics and awesome kind of new ways to manage your crew, and some voice acting would be amazing. I would be all about it. I'd play the living crap out of that game. So if anybody's listening out there, I don't remember who published it. It might have been Sega, but Shining Force would be amazing.
That was a Sega title. I think so.
I think it was, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
Nate, what about you?
So I don't. Did anybody ever play text games like way back in the day?
Yes, I did.
Sure.
So yeah. I would love to see Zork current generation. That's a game that has no graphics really, but I mean, the story in the universe of Zork is actually really, really cool, and I think it would be super awesome. It would be like almost like a Skyrim style game where it's like super awesome graphics, just really get to explore lots of dungeon crawling, and it's like, I don't know, Zork, it's such a good franchise. I don't understand why it never made the graphical leap, but it never did. So I mean, I would like to see that for sure.
Rebirth of Zork going back to the late 80s. That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Hillary, I'm nervous. what you're going to say here.
No, I was, you know, there's actually this one game I used to play on NES, and I was just Googling trying to figure out the title because I cannot remember it. And I wanted to say it was called StarCraft, but it definitely was not called StarCraft. Definitely not called that.
Yeah, they should totally bring back StarCraft.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'll have to dig it up, find it. But my second favorite would be, there was a text-based game called Planetfall, and there was also another one called Stationfall. And I've mentioned it before, but I remember as a kid that, like, just the story around that, and it was, you know, super sci-fi. I would love for them to actually make that into, cool, you know, a next-gen game, because awesome. It's kind of like, you know, Mass Effect in some ways. But yeah, I mean, you're defending your, you know, the station, or trying to, I don't want to give it away, but yeah. So
is Planetfall coming back? Isn't there a Planetfall 2 that's coming out?
Is there? If there is, that would be fantastic. Well,
I'm fairly certain there is.
Really? Okay, I'll have to look it up. But yeah, Stationfall and Planetfall were the two games. They were amazing. Lots of magic.
Awesome. So next up, from the faraway lands of Italy, we have Scott, who asks every one of us an individual question.
Yeah.
And I'll do mine last, so I'm going to run through your guys first. But okay. He says, Nate, if I'm you and you're me, what number am I thinking of?
Oh, man, there's only one way.
Do you guys know the answer if I say it? Does he always think of the same number?
If he was he'd always think of the same number.
The number I immediately think of is 13. So.
Okay, that, well, Ash is thinking of 69.
Yes!
Ash, help. Ash, tell me where it is again.
Inside of you, Scott.
Oh, no.
Hillary, remember that one episode in Battlestar Galactica? And I'm not reading the rest because Ash wrote that, but...
Which one? Yeah.
And then for me, he writes, how badly am I winning in our fantasy football league? And the answer to that, to give him credit, is he's not winning very badly. He's winning very well. He's destroying our league at the moment and scoring a lot higher than everybody else. But notoriously, whoever comes out talking shit always ends up getting their ass handed to him. So we will see what happens there, buddy.
So in Scott's honor, I'm going to start the sentence by saying, I would just like to say,
yes.
Yes. So when I read the FF, I'm like, follow Friday. I'm like, no, that's not it. And then I'm like, fan fiction? Fan fiction league would be awesome.
I didn't really get it either.
It's fantasy football, guys.
I got it right away. I didn't even think about it.
It's fan fiction. I know it.
All right. So the next question is from Chris Jenkins, and this is actually a really good one. He says, something I always like to ask people our age, as folks with spouses and full-time jobs, when, where, how do you find the time to set aside for gaming? I tend to get most of my stretches in at night after my wife goes to bed. Wondering if you all have similar habits or solutions. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you for, first of all, the kind words. So just consider our work is great. Our work is great. That's amazing. Okay. So, but how do you guys find the time?
Well, I'm going to answer this one first, just because he says, you know, when my wife has gone to bed, and it's traditionally for people our age, a lot of times girls, the women with full-time jobs who are also married, may not play a lot of console games. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. So for me, I think Dave got it kind of easy because he plays games when I play games, which is a lot. So we find time for gaming in that it's, you know, it's, we have a couple minutes, or there's, you know, not much going on. If it's right after work before dinner starts or whatever, both of us are like, to the consoles.
Awesome.
I would say, like, I don't fall into the have spouse category, so it's just me, but I do have full-time jobs. I schedule gaming time. Like, that's what I do. I make sure I know when I'm going to play, I know what I'm going to play, I know how long I'm going to play it for. I make sure I have time for it, and so that's just how it is. And if I get a few free moments, I'll jump in on some stuff. But yeah, I schedule things. Like, I do calendar invites on my phone.
That's awesome.
That's actually really smart.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
And it works out too, because I play with a lot of different people, and they play, most
play
of the people,
a lot of ladies
with,
sir, and you have, I do, that, and they, you all have that man musk, you have the delicious yeah. man musk.
I don't know where you, let me tell you, you like let a cat out of the bag last week when you were talking about that, because now all of a sudden all I get on Twitter for like a week is people like, how are you playing with, I'm like, I don't know. Just
every time I see a tweet, yes. It's like, hey, I'll see you later, baby, for some gaming. You're like, I think you're sort of like, you're like a podcast pimp, you know?
Well, yeah, there's some question about that. Like last week I was on a podcast with four girls. It was me, four ladies.
Good for you.
I feel like that all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, oh my, it's already... hey. Yeah.
Since I always have to schedule.
I forgot this looper pooper.
Or is it Jumper?
Or Bradley Cooper.
Oh God. This is a broken ass episode.
Yeah.
Can I just have that edited out? I really do feel like that was a dumb thing to say.
No. No, you can't. That's totally forever. Staying
in. There's no way they could edit it out because if we refer back to it like 100 times.
Yeah.
It'd be pointless. I've got to stay now.
Man.
I am going to answer this question if you guys would shut up for a second. does that mean? Sometimes I come off as mean, guys, and I mean it, but I don't mean it. I keep my gaming at a premium, so I tend to not play crap. That's how I do it. So like a Borderlands 2 comes out and I will game a lot. And then if there's a stretch where there's not a lot of stuff out, you probably won't see me gaming a ton on Xbox because I like to be married and have jobs and not lose.
So you wait for someone to tell you if a game is good.
No. I know
you
what
decide.
I want to play. Yeah, I know what I want to play, and I will rate those higher than I would other games that I do not care as much about.
Interesting.
Like Bad Piggies?
Well, Bad Piggies doesn't count because I have an hour train ride to and from work every day, so I get a lot of mobile gaming in, which is why you hear me talk about it so often. But, yeah.
As for myself, I on the weekends, I'm usually up about 2 or 3 hours before my wife. I always game like at least a couple hours in the mornings on the weekends, and that's because unfortunately my day job, I have to wake up very early, so I'm on this weird schedule where, you know, 5:30 rolls around on Saturday morning and I'm up out of bed, and that's just how it works. So I'll play then. Ugh. And if I'm lucky, like Borderlands, and my wife likes the game, then she'll play it too, which is cool. If she doesn't like a game, if she doesn't like a game, then, you know, whenever I can find the time. So it is a struggle. I mean, if I had my way and there was unlimited money flowing in, I'd just play constantly. So it's kind of scary. I would just like an IV in a bucket and I would just play. That would be it.
I'm sure that enthuses your wife.
Yeah.
Yes. So the next question, Renew CZ. Obvious question is obvious. Is that right? Damn it. Okay. Next question is Renew CZ. An obvious question is obvious. What nerdy hobby or aspect of your personality are you almost too ashamed to share with us? Stop laughing at me.
It's okay. You're getting through it. So she's turning our question around on us.
Yeah. Yes. I was
really
happy.
You guys are so mean. Like, why would you?
What? You're why would you laugh? You're doing good. Keep going.
Hmm.
We are not. Take it back. So yeah, this is our signature question, and it is turned back. So I'm interested. So nerdy hobby or aspect of your personality you're almost too ashamed to share. Yikes.
Yeah.
That's a hard one. Like, I don't know. I'm not one of those people. I'm not really ashamed of anything. Like, I'm fairly shameless. So, like, it's hard for me. I know that I did when I was, well, not so much now, but I do remember in the late 90s, early 2000, I had a small obsession with Avril Lavigne, and I didn't like telling people about that.
Why do you have to go because, and make things so complicated, Nate?
I don't know. I just did. I just have to. That's the way that it works.
I mean,
it's all about obsession. Avril. I respected her and enjoyed her music. Right.
Now she's married to the guy from Nickelback, so.
Oh, it's for the future.
Gross.
Yeah, how does that even happen?
Creating all the Panda babies.
She went from Sum 41 to Nickelback.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
It's pretty awful.
Matt,
about you?
What are your secrets?
I don't know. I've been trying to. I read this one like a day or two ago whenever she tweeted it, and I have not been able to.
I mean, the thing about this podcast is we pretty much openly discuss things that we're like.
Exactly.
Well, I was gonna out my love of romantic comedies that are not good. But then I realized we talked about that one episode. We talked about my my shame movie, which is You've Got Mail.
Wait, what?
You've Got Mail.
I love what? You've Got Mail. I have no idea why. It's just one of my favorite romantic comedies.
You like people with bookstores?
I do. It's such a romantic story, Hillary. So
she wears weird clothes in that movie.
Well, you know, she's allowed to. She's quirky. She's a quirky bookstore.
Man, early 1990s, late 80s, Meg Ryan. That is a lady right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You mean before the plastic surgery?
Yeah, it's a sad day.
Yeah.
So mine, I guess, I mean, most people know this, but I paint a lot of miniatures, or used to. I don't so much anymore, but I painted a lot of miniatures for our D&D campaigns, and I used to play Warhammer 40K. So if you think painting miniatures is super nerdy, I did a lot of that. Also, my go-to movie when I was depressed in my early 20s, I would watch Bring It On, kind of on repeat.
Wait, what?
That's awesome.
No, he's dead serious. Yeah, he used to go to the theater on release day.
Oh, yeah. I went and saw Bring It On in the theater.
You like cheerleaders?
Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
It's a job that I currently have, but I like to be Bring It On.
Wow. That's amazing.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
My go-to movie when I'm down in the dumps is An American President.
Mine is Empire Strikes Back.
Really?
Come on now, guys.
Not Bring It On?
Yeah. No.
Mine is probably somewhere between Got Mail and Hackers.
I'm a big Aaron Sorkin guy, though. That's why I like that movie so much.
Nice.
So my nerdy hobby or whatever. I mean, all the nerdy stuff is cool, right? So I don't feel like I'm shamed by any of it. The writing or the reading or the playing or the whatever. So I think the thing that I'd be ashamed to share is that I do have a certain fascination with Martha Stewart.
Oh, nice. Man. You should hang out with my wife.
No, and I'm actually like super into cooking and cleaning and having a nice home, which is strange because you would not probably necessarily think that about me.
That's
woman power.
That's like my wife's dream job up here in New York is working for Martha Stewart.
She's awesome. I mean, the jail aside, she always has like the most amazing tips and tricks, and she's built an empire. So you have to respect that.
I do. I do respect it.
So Nate, you should read this question.
Oh, should I? This one from my fellow podcaster.
Yeah.
So this one comes from Melissa K, the quad skater on Twitter. If you want to find her, if you could have a superpower, what would it? And would you use it for the greater good or embrace the role of villain? So I don't. What would it? People.
She sounds like Tiny Tina.
Right.
What? Man, I love this question.
I do too.
We always ask it, not like on the podcast, but we used to like when we sit around having.
Are you saying she's unoriginal?
No. I'm saying that it's a great like dinner conversation question.
It is.
If you're nerdy.
It is. Well, I mean, go ahead.
So oddly enough, what's funny about this is that we've been talking about Jumper and Looper. Jumper, like that ability is like the ability that I would want to have.
Bamf?
Yes, I would love to be able to bamf, teleport.
It all makes sense in the end.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Just like Lost.
No, it's not like Lost
no,
at all.
Don't.
But yeah, that's totally what I would do. I would love to teleport. It was funny. I had this conversation with a friend of mine about superpowers that would be like kind of cool, but super lame at the same time. And my favorite one that we came up with was if you could teleport, but you could only teleport like 3 feet in front of you.
What a horrible teleportation.
Takes you forever to get anywhere.
Right, exactly.
So would you be good or a villain in that case?
I am always good. I can't be a villain. I don't even know how to do it.
It's hard. How about you, Hillary?
I was just thinking about this. This is the first time I've seen this question, so I didn't have time to prepare like maybe other people have on the podcast. So let's see. I would definitely like to stop time. Do you remember that show with Evie and she'd pull, you know, she put her fingers together and it would stop time? She was like half alien. Yeah. I would like to stop time.
I always think of the Zach Morris timeout.
There you go. Yeah.
And then would I... greater good or embrace the role of villain? I think I'd be more, I don't think I'd choose one or the other. I think I'd be selfish.
Yeah.
You'd use it to your own advantage.
It's kind of the role of the villain, I guess, right? If you're gonna,
I guess, but I would help people. Like if I stop, if I saw someone falling out of a tree, I'd stop time and help them.
What? That's your example.
Do you see people falling out of trees a lot?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or if I saw, you know, if I saw a bank robber like running out of a bank with with bags of money, I'd stop time and give it to the poor.
Not back to the bank. You give it to the poor.
Amazing.
And some to myself.
Man.
It'd be kind of cool. Think about it. You'd have like cash, like pockets full of money. You'd stop time. You see like a homeless person on the street. You tuck some money in their jacket, and they would never know.
That's true.
That's true.
That's Wouldn't true. That be fun?
I don't. Yeah.
Wow.
So if I could have a superpower, I think I just want to shoot arrows really good, guys.
Like.
Okay, Katniss.
No, I'm kidding. We joke that I already have one, and it's that I heal really quickly from things, like cuts and scrapes and being sick and stuff. I don't end up sick for very long. I might just amp that power up. I think I'd like that even, like if I just never got sick and I couldn't get hurt. I don't want to get hurt anymore, guys.
No more pain.
Ash.
Well.
Oh, I would, and I would. I don't know if I could use that for good or evil. I guess I could do it for evil. I don't know what I'd do for good though. I'd never get sick.
I would definitely be a villain because I think the world needs more supervillains.
Wait, what?
I mean, think about it. Okay, so we're at a place where the status quo in society needs to be disrupted, and the world needs to be turned upside down. Imagine, if you will, a world.
What, have you been having dinner with like Ahmadinejad or what?
Whoa.
No, I'm not going there. So my power would be invisibility and telepathy and mind control.
That's more than one.
More than one power.
It can only be one. It would be invisibility, and my super villain name would be Super Creepy, and I would and I would creep into your house and I would look at you.
Wow. Ash. I don't know about that. No. Just bring it on and invisibility. Those two things together.
Yeah, you're not helping your image on the internet right now.
I know, I'm doing that for comedy's sake. No, my real answer would be super strength and vulnerability, and I would just punch things really
hard.
You keep
giving yourself multiple powers. You yes. can't do this.
Well,
I
want to
stop
about...
time and like, you know,
yeah.
like,
all right, then just invulnerability. I could fall out of a plane and be fine. That would be my power. I could jump out of a moving car.
So you
car.
Just stole my answer is what you're saying.
Yeah, so you're Matt.
Yes. Yeah, I always say invulnerability. That's great. No, you said heal fast. I said I just won't get hurt. My skin is like diamonds.
I said don't get hurt.
You diamond
don't
skin.
When I talk to you.
Fine, I'll stick with the invisibility super creepy. That'll be my answer.
How about you ask this one, Ash?
All right. Next is Lisa Chan, who is at ecoco25 on Twitter, says, you asked for it. Who is the surprise BioWare interview? Just kidding. What would your dream Mass Effect 4 be like? This surprise BioWare interview is going to be a surprise, so sorry.
and it's not with me. Ha ha ha, just kidding.
And the dream Mass Effect 4, my dream Mass Effect 4 would take place a couple generations after Mass Effect 3. And that way there could still be some returning cast members. People like Liara and Rex could come back. People, you know, that did survive your campaign could come back. And it would be a resurgence of a villain worse than that of the Reapers. So it would be the next generation and the universe kind of still rebuilding after the events of 3 and some returning faces. But I'd also like to add ship combat to that.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Definitely.
That would be cool.
You guys?
For me, I go the other way. I would like Mass Effect 4 to be like a prequel. I would like to experience
like the relay, like the first contact war.
Yep, that's what I want. Is the first contact war. I want to be able to do that. And I want to play it like XCOM. I want it to be like a strategic game where it's like it's an actual. It's not like an RPG like Mass Effect is. I would much rather do something that's like a real-time strategy or something like that and actually do the first contact war.
Interesting. My only problem is, like, we keep referring back to the First Contact War with Mass Effect, but it was mainly, that was mainly from my, what my memory bank is telling me, that it was the Turians versus the humans, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah, it's Relay 314 incident.
That seems kind of limited, though, right? I mean, we're used to seeing, like, all these different alien races and stuff, and, like, I don't know, I think shooting Turians for 40 hours could get kind of boring.
Well, think about it. I mean, because then you get to see the introduction of the humans to, you know, all of the council races.
I think it's more story related than it is necessarily just shooting Turians.
Totally. Yeah. And if you just did the gameplay different, like the way that I want to do it with like a strategic game, then it doesn't really matter that there's not a lot of villains. It's more about the way that you fight the war as opposed to like running and shooting.
Fine.
You're being like beat up, Ash.
Hillary, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I think I would even want to go back further and, you know, I'd go back all the way to like, I'd go back to like the Protheans. You know what I mean? I think that would be an interesting, even though like, I'm assuming that, you know, any video game maker wouldn't want to make something that has no kind of human element. It would be kind of interesting to see what the galaxy was like before the last iteration. You know what I mean? Like, even though you know the eventual demise of the Protheans, I mean, it would be kind of cool to see, like, what was there before what we know in the current Mass Effect series.
And we could also learn why they have South African accents.
Exactly.
For sure. That would be awesome if we could figure that out.
No, but, you know, like, seeing the races that we are familiar with, you know, the licking eyeballs or whatever, that you know, whatever. I can't remember the line, but it made me laugh. You know, seeing... talking
about the Salarians and how last time you saw them licking their eyeballs, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it'd be cool. It'd be cool to see the evolution of that stuff. But yeah, just seeing what the galaxy was like before what we know today.
Good.
As Mass Effect.
Good.
I think that. So I think I would rather not have a big arcing Mass Effect again, where you play as like one central character or anything. I think it would be cool to do episodic stuff, where you play as somebody in the universe as Mass Effect 1 through 3 was going on, but like in one of those side stories, and you play as them as the lead character, like whether it be like the school for your Jack at the school for psychics, or the school for not psychics, you know what I'm saying?
The Grissom Academy.
Yes, is the word I was looking for. Biotics. Those are the two things that would have fit that sentence. You know, like play these short run, like really intimate stories about things that were happening during these massive wars, but about specific characters that weren't Shepard. I think that would.
Oh, so like Hillary, Joker's sister, as she's, you know, fighting off the attacks. Yes. With a stick.
Doesn't she die?
Yeah.
But that's fine. Like, I think it would be awesome to play through those like kind of stories and even know the ending already. It would just be neat to see the other things going on at the same exact time.
Yeah.
Really quick for Hillary, how does it make you feel that they named a character after you and then they killed it?
Jeez. What is that laugh afterwards?
I went out with a bang, though. I have to say. Like,
there
that,
you go. That's true.
No, seriously. And Seth Green said my name. That's all I have to say.
That's true.
And that's not true. Like that, like Gunny. I mean, because that's my Crab Cat name. So, yeah, it was really neat to hear that. I about flew out of my chair.
Oh, I bet you did.
Nice.
That's incredible.
Heather, you want to take us out? Read the last one?
Sure. So, Carlo Saba, if you had to stay... Wait. If you had to say... Jesus. Okay. If you had to say in choosing a director and cast for the Mass Effect film adaptation, who would you include? Oh, man. It'd probably be Bro Shep. So, Henry Cavill would be a really cool Shepard, I think.
Seth Green as Joker.
Of course.
Yeah.
Trisha,
I don't know.
Trisha Heffler, whatever her name is, as Edie.
Right.
Director? Spielberg.
You'd have to be big like that. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, for me, director is Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon or James Cameron. Those are my two. Cameron could be amazing. In terms of cast for me, that's really hard. I mean, I don't know. Gosh. I mean, because most of them would be under prosthetic makeup, so I feel like you could just, like, you know, get the voice cast back in for a lot of them, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they'd have to dye it. Raphael Sabarge would have to dye his hair black.
True. True, he would.
I think I would actually want to see Nolan direct.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think he can do action, and I think he can do these big, dark movies. I think that'd be cool. Cast, I don't know. You guys would be way better at casting than I'm horrible at that stuff. So, but director-wise, I think I would do Nolan.
The only cast I can think of is Brochep, and I'd like to see Jason Statham.
Oh, that would be cool, actually. Yeah, I like
that. Amazing, yeah.
Amazing.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of the Stathams.
Oh, me too. Me too.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Vin Diesel.
Vin.
Good old Vinny.
All right, well, that has been it, guys.
That's we did it. Yeah. We survived.
We did first half of the husband swap where Nate came and took Scott's place.
So, it was great. Thanks for having me. It was super fun.
Thank you for being on. Seriously, this would have been horrible without you. So, I kid. Man, you guys got really quiet on that one. That was a joke. That was a total
joke.
Just
insulted your friends here, and they're like, whatever, Matt.
Friends is a stretch.
Friends is a stretch? Ouch. Well, thank you for putting up with my blonde moments. I appreciate that. As soon as I dyed my hair lighter, I think I've gotten not as eloquent.
Well, we're glad you're back from your bout of horrible pink eye.
Yeah. I'll tell Katie you say hi.
All right. Do that.
What is happening right now? Let's end this, guys. Let's just get out of here.
Oh, man.
So that was rated NA 77 for the website nerdappropriate.com. I never said that at the beginning, by the way, but whatever. I think you know what you're listening to.
Hopefully.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Nerd Appropriate. You can find us on Facebook at /Nerd Appropriate. You can go to iTunes, download the podcast, and please rate us and do all that fun stuff because, you know, as we always say, we don't get paid if you don't give us 5 stars. So thank you. Seriously, Nate, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
It's been a blast having you.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And we Absolutely. Look forward to sending Scott.
You're my favorite mid-country person.
Yay!
He's the only one there.
Yeah, it's just me. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is Nate in a tumbleweed.
I named him Ralph. I talk to him every day.
Oh, shouldn't make fun of other parts of the country.
Right, Matt?
I never do that.
Mm-hmm.
And cut.